Comedy Radio Park, whatever it is. Sitting
Comedy Radio.
With
your voice changes when you do that. Comedy Radio.
I know, going all American. So not American. Hopefully not. What was your question? You were talking about... Yeah, what's it like being incredibly famous to 29 million generations of assorted people? Like walking down the street, as you say, you sort of walking down the street, you go, hi, Barry, how are you?
No, no, I'm not in that league. No, I'm in the hello league and the smile and the wave league, and they're not quite sure who I am.
Okay.
Oh, they've seen the face, and I do a lot of radio. Oh, yeah, I won't go on for hours about that. He's my old friend. We were doppelgangers for each other, mistaken for each other all the time. First Comic Relief I worked on, we had a little party afterwards, and Princess Anne was there, and Paul Jackson, who I was with last week, who's become an eminence, he knew me, but he had a mental block, and he took around the room into introducing it to people, and he said, and this is Barry Took. I thought, well, this isn't the moment, so I said hello, and she said hello. And 3 weeks later, my wife and I went to a tomb at the Café Royal in London, and there was about 100 of us there, and this guy was brilliant, introducing her to everybody. He got no notes, and he brought her down the line and said, this is Mr. and Mrs. Barry Cryer. And she said, you were Barry Took last time. Tookie and I used to swap these stories all the time. We didn't really look like each other, but we had the glasses and the hair and the Christian name and everything. And he rang me, he said, oh, I've got to tell you, he said. I told him that one. He said, I win. He said, I've got it. I said, what? He said, last night I was at the Doom, Princess Anne was there. And she came over to me and said, there is somebody called Barry Cryer. And he said, yeah, an old friend of mine. She said, come here for do when both you buggers are there and get you sorted out. I got in a black cab in London recently, and the driver said, oh, Mr. Took, pleasure to meet you. And I said, my friend's gone. We went to his funeral. And he said very indignantly, well, who are you then? Like I was an imposter. No, I'm not in that league. I'm in a nice league. I'm in a... I'm very big with lorry drivers.
Fantastic.
All right, Bell.
And is that because of the clue? Give us a clue.
I'm sorry, I haven't a clue.
Sorry, I can't even say it. I'm sorry. I'm doing a Barry Took, Barry Cry switchover. Is that? Do you think that's because they listen to Radio 4 a lot and they recognise the voice?
Think what?
They listen to Radio 4 a lot.
Oh yes,
they recognise the voice.
I was in a pub one night and I did my guffaw, which is genuine, but all our family can do it. All our kids are like, ah, ah, ah. And I laughed at something, and a woman suddenly turned around to the bar and said, oh, it's you. Radio. No idea, I was standing at the bar. I understood that entirely, but when the guffaw came, she said, oh. Oh, I love it.
I have to
Ronnie
say.
Corbett, my old friend, said something to me. You know, these people say wise things. And he said to me once, he said, I don't know what rung of the ladder you're on, Baz, but stay there. He said, you've got it right. You're always around, but nobody's pointing at you. Wise words. I've loved being around all the time. A peripheral figure often, you know, as a writer. But I've loved being around without the pressure on. Oh, it's him, it's down to him, you know. You know what I mean? I suppose it's irresponsibility, I don't know. But being a writer and
so
a performer.
When you're doing things
not
like,
a star, not a star.
When you're doing things like Clue and any other pun, most of the other pun shows, you're almost going to hang out with mates. You're not really. Or does it feel like going to work?
No, it's never felt that way. I'm very lucky. It feels like. It feels like a social occasion or a hobby or... No, it doesn't feel like work at all. No. I don't mean I take it lightly. I think I've been a grafter. I do work hard on what I do. But I don't...
You've known
it's very
for
strange.
A long time.
I don't think of it as work most of the time. I think, God, I'm lucky. I'm having a good time, you know. They pay me.
I mean, to be working with someone like Humphrey Littleton.
Oh, the man.
Wonderful man.
Prune story. I've got to tell you the prune.
Tell me the prune story.
I knew Humph for 53 years. I met him in 1955, Leeds University. He was 34. Already a star, sideburns, goatee beard. He was up in Leeds doing a gig with his band at the University Union. We knew who that was. I was singing with the University Jazz Band, mostly in the open air charity. And he came over and said hello, and I said, oh, it's him. Oh. And he said, Humphrey Littleton. I said, I know. And he said, I heard you singing with the band. And I preened myself, and he said, it wasn't difficult, you're quite loud. Were your friends ever out? But the point I'm making, I knew that guy 53 years, never swore. Too much style. The band told me now and again, but never in my presence, he never swore. And the last gig he did with us, we did a stage tour, I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. We're like the Rolling Stones, it was just amazing. And Harrogate, that's it. The last gig we did, and we're all around the breakfast table in the hotel next morning, and Humph had a bowl of prunes, and he tasted the first prune, and he took it out of his mouth, and he sort of grimaced. He said, how can you fuck up a prune? And I treasure that. It's a funny line anyway.
But coming from him.
Oh, he's great.
So is that what most of your work is now, is really going and hanging out with mates?
Yeah. But the stage tour of the radio show, we're a radio show, for God's sake. 36 years, that's lovely and popular. Hammersmith Apollo, 3,500 people. Couldn't believe it. Well, the tickets went online for the whole tour and just went. And we realised, and we're men of a certain age, but we just, and we were so pleased for Humph, you know, the man was just, he was loving it, didn't want to show it, you know. Hammersmith Apollo, wow! Do you know the link in the generations? The guy I wrote the Kenny Everett shows with, Ray Cameron, who's gone now. You know who his son is?
Mike McIntyre. Oh, no, really? I didn't know that.
Mike rang me last year, and I knew little Michael and Lucy, his sister. They were the children of my writing partner, Ray Cameron. Mike McIntyre rings me last year. Baz. I went, oh, Jesus. Where are you, Baz? You're Hat Cherry. I said, yeah. He said, I want to see you. He drove up, he came here. We sat over there for 5 hours. And, you know, with him in Edinburgh this year, and I was with him last week at Wimbledon, he was in the Prince Charles show.
He was fantastic.
And you think, generation, it rolls on.
Yeah.
This is my mate's son.
Mm. No, I've never worked with Michael, and I think he's extraordinary. I've never worked with him, but I've watched him rise and rise and rise.
He's everywhere
amazing.
Now. He's hot now, isn't he?
He's brilliant.
He is brilliant. I mean, he's just Mr. Good Humour, Mr. Chuckle and Talk and Grin and lovely observational stuff. Just great stuff. But, oh, God,
I didn't realise his dad was a writer.
Mm.
I didn't realise that his father was a writer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Mike said to me last week, he said, it's not like Lisa and Jimmy Tarbuck. Mike said, Baz, they're driving me mad now. People keep saying, you're Ray Cameron's son, people in the business. And he goes, yes, I love my dad, yes. Have you anything else to say to me? Do I not exist?
Comics, endless need. Am I any good? Are you, so what are you doing now? You're mainly doing,
gigs.
The gigs with Ronnie up in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Are you going to do that again next year? Because each year you keep saying you're not going to do it.
But it's assumed, oh yeah. But I just gig all the time with Colin Sell, the pianist from the radio show. Sorry, I haven't a clue.
And then do the panel show.
All over the place. Yeah. And I'm a talking head.
Yes.
Particularly when anybody dies. Get the old man in for his memories.
Can want to do it. So what would be your ideal next year?
Oh, I've no plans. Never had a plan. My ideal next year is still here. I'm old. Come on.
Well, you're not that old. You've got another 20 years in you
easily.
I don't
eat my green bananas.
You could do another 20 years easily.
Oh, I don't know.
You could get Peter Kay to do a whole set in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Get it going. Well, that's brilliant. Thank you so much, darling. You've got to go back for lunch.
That was a pleasure.
It was lovely doing it, darling. I'm sorry it's so late.
Same time tomorrow.
Such a pickle.
Yeah, I'd love to see you again. This is good.
Do some more.